He said, Donald, I called just to say hello and to tell you, did you see Roseanne's ratings? I said, Mark, how big were they? They were unbelievable. Over 18 million people. And it was about us.
President Trump talking about the reboot of Roseanne on ABC at an event in Cleveland. Trump called Roseanne Barr to congratulate her on the high ratings. The Roseanne reboot aired this week after its last season wrapped up 21 years ago. The original show broke ground in its depiction of a low-income household led by an assertive woman. The new version of Roseanne returns to the same family, but in a very different political climate. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans joins us now to discuss the revival. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
So let's talk about these ratings. First of all, 18.2 million total viewers. The highest ratings were in Tulsa, Cincinnati, Kansas City, and the only city in the top 10 from a blue state was Chicago at number 5. It sounds like this did exactly what ABC wanted it to do. It appealed to Trump voters.
Well, you know, I'd be very careful about going from appealing to people in middle America who don't see themselves on television and then saying that that's about Trump voters. I think what this show did was appeal to people who don't see themselves depicted authentically on television that much, and particularly people in the Midwest and in the middle of the country. And that's what we saw. You know, there's a lot of different dynamics that came together to make this happen. I mean, ABC promoted the heck out of this. We saw ads for it during the Oscars. We saw ads for it during American Idol. We saw the stars everywhere. They were at NASCAR rallies. They were on Howard Stern. This is a beloved show that was the number one show on television at its height when the show was originally on the air. And I think a lot of people were just curious about, you know, what did they come up with so many years after the show had left the air. So to take all of those dynamics and reduce it down to people watch because of Trump, I think it may be what Trump wants to believe, but I don't think it's what happened.
All right. Well, the first episode of the new show deals with a rift that has formed between Roseanne and her sister Jackie, played, of course, by Laurie Metcalf. They were on opposite sides of the 2016 election.
How could you have voted for him, Roseanne?
He talked about jobs, Jackie. He said he'd shake things up. I mean, this might come as a complete shock to you, but we almost lost our house the way things are going.
Have you looked at the news? Because now things are worse.
Not on the real news.
Oh, please!
So how does the show address these political divisions?
Well, the sad thing about it is that it really didn't. I mean, basically, we had several scenes where Roseanne and her sister kind of insulted each other and argued about how they voted. And in the end, they came to this sort of uneasy reconciliation where her sister apologized and Roseanne didn't. And it was disappointing to me because I remember the classic show where when they tackled abortion, for example, they did two episodes where it started out with Roseanne's character being very supportive of abortion rights and even pranking a bunch of abortion protesters at a clinic to a really thoughtful examination of it when there was a suspicion that a child that she was carrying might have birth defects or congenital health problems. And also when they tackled race, they did a whole episode where her son DJ didn't want to kiss a girl in a school play because she was black. And then they examined themselves to figure out if maybe they as parents had unwittingly passed on prejudices to DJ that he was then enacting. And so to see them sort of treat this discussion about one person voted for Trump in a household filled with people who either didn't vote or, you know, wouldn't have voted for Trump. And to have it be such an about face for a character that was supportive of gay rights, that was very pro-feminist, that was, you know, against racial prejudice, it just seemed like a missed opportunity. And it seemed like they wanted to touch on it enough to make Trump voters think they were on their side, but they didn't want to really talk about it in a way that would turn off viewers. Was that a triumph of television quality? I don't think so. I think they came right up to the edge and they didn't go further.
Well, and it's not just the fictional Roseanne Conner who supports Trump. Roseanne Barr famously does. And as we heard, he supports her right back. How much can you separate Roseanne Barr's politics from her character's politics?
Well, that's something that we struggle with all the time in pop culture. You know, Roxane Gay has written this really wonderful piece for the New York Times where she says, the new Roseanne show is very funny and entertaining, and I'm not watching it because Roseanne Barr, the person, is toxic and has terrible political views, and I don't want to support her. And I think a lot of people will make that decision. She has said some awful things on Twitter. She's, you know, expressed ideas that some people view as transphobic and Islamophobic, and she's very inconsistent. You know, one minute she's trying to get the Green Party nomination for president, and the next minute she's supporting Donald Trump. So when I tried to talk to her about why the Roseanne character was a Trump supporter and whether that was connected to her own political views, she tried to avoid the question. She tried to get her executive producer to answer it, her co-star to answer it. And then finally, she addressed it directly after I asked her about for the third or fourth time. And I think we actually have a clip of that.
I'm asking you how this storyline came to be and if it was inspired by your own personal real life support for the president.
You know, the Roseanne Show is, I've always tried to have it be a true reflection of the society we live in. So I feel like half the people voted for Trump and half didn't. So it's just realistic.
And if that was the answer, you know, why did it take asking the question four times for her to come up with that? I think they were concerned, particularly back in January when they were just starting to roll out publicity for the show, that people would look at her political views and graft them onto the character and react negatively to the show. Now that there has been this big number for the comeback, I wonder if we'll see more of her views expressed in the public space. And I wonder how people will react to that. I think once they realize what the real Roseanne Barr stands for, it might be harder for some people to keep watching the show.
And what about the edge that the old show had? It tackled a lot of social issues 21 years ago, depression, unemployment, LGBT, identity, racism. It was also notable to see a working class family with a woman as its head on TV back then. Does the revival have any of that edge?
Oh, yeah. And I think that's one reason why even Roxane Gay said that the show was entertaining. She may have only seen the episodes that aired, but I've seen one that hasn't aired yet. And we're going to learn that a member of the family is struggling with prescription pill addiction. And they already had an episode where they had a grandchild who likes to dress up in clothes that are considered feminine and is sort of exploring dress, but says, you know, he's not gay. And, you know, there's a lot of kids nowadays that are doing that. So I think they have their finger on the pulse of a lot of issues that working class families are facing every day. And I think it's one reason why we saw such a strong response in some of those areas. Now, I will note that the Hollywood Reporter, for example, noted that some places where the show scored lowest was Greensboro, North Carolina, Jacksonville, Florida, you know, Memphis, Tennessee. You know, there are places where there are a lot of working class and working class white families where the show didn't do so well. And the other thing I think people are concerned about, we're always talking about normalization, and there's always a concern that the extreme political times will be normalized in a way that we wind up accepting dysfunction. And I think people of color, I mean, as a black man, I will say that I'm really concerned to see a character like Roseanne express her voting for Trump absent of any sense of what kind of repercussions that will have for the people of color in her life. You know, in the show, she has a black grandchild. Her son has a black wife who's serving overseas. You know, we never see her. And, you know, I wonder, how does somebody like Roseanne sort of reconcile the fact that she's voting for a president who has in some ways been very hostile to the interests of people of color? And to have the show not engage that, I think, is also a failure. I would love to see that debate where somebody who supports Trump is played by a character who also supports Trump, and we have that discussion. But they didn't really have that discussion. They just kind of normalized the view and kind of went on. And from what we understand from the executive producers, they're not really going to touch on it again in the, you know, seven episodes that remain. And that's what worries me, is we need to actually have a debate, not a pseudo debate. And unfortunately, I think the success of this Roseanne episode has caused people to claim it's about a lot of things that we don't know that it's about, and claim that it's a discussion that hasn't really happened. And all of that now needs to happen.
That's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans talking with us about the new version of Roseanne from ABC. Eric, thank you.
Thank you.